I remember the day the military coup broke out. It happened in October 1963, while my younger brother and I were at the American school in downtown Tegucigalpa, the capital of Honduras. Our parents were missionaries there. I have no idea how or why the school administration let us leave that day. Perhaps they had no idea something was happening. Normally, Tim and I would walk from school to my dad's office. That day was no different. We left the school to walk the 6 blocks to Dad's office. 2 blocks away from the school, we knew something was wrong. There were military personnel running in every direction, and gunshots. I knew what that meant. I had been through several revolutions already, and I understood exactly what was happening. Suddenly, we saw a row of military jeeps and trucks headed up the street toward us. There was nowhere to hide but to crouch in a doorway. I remember thinking that my dad would be frantic. He would probably come looking for us, but he would have no way of knowing where we were. After the line of trucks passed, we ran as fast as we could to Dad's office. The front door was locked, but as soon as we started beating on the door, Dad opened it up and pulled us in. Dad didn't say a word, he just held us. He thought the school had kept us in lockdown. That night, we hunkered down in our house. We could see the glow on the horizon of a city on fire. From my parents' bedroom window, we could see the U.S. Embassy and what appeared to be some Marines on the rooftop, defending it. The sound of gunfire and explosions lasted for days. At night, we would lie in Mom and Dad's bed and listen. Sometimes Mom and Dad would sing. I overheard Mom and Dad talking one night. They were discussing whether to leave the country until it was safer, or to stay and wait it out. While the revolution only lasted about a week and a half, the residual effects lasted for several months. It was Christmas, hardly a time of joy. Most people just wondered what the next day would bring. Many stores were still closed. Many people were out of work. If I had to choose one word to describe the feeling, it would be dark. It was sort of hard to get excited about Christmas. Dad had told us that Christmas would be a little different this year, like we didn't know that already. Mom had put some Christmas decorations up around the house, but we didn't even have a tree. Dad said it was too dangerous to go out into the hills to cut one. But still, the church work went on. We were busy with choir cantatas and children's programs. The little church we attended was the first church that Dad had started in Honduras. It was a little wooden building on the outskirts of one of the poorest areas of the city. People didn't have much in the way of material possessions, but they did have music, and they loved to sing. Especially at Christmas. The night came for the children's Christmas program. It was about a week before Christmas Day. We piled into the Jeep to go to the church. It was a little chilly for Honduras and drizzling. As I gazed out the car window, I wondered if anyone would even show up for the program. They did. They most certainly did. In spite of the fact that we had no electricity that night, and a few short downpours, Mom played the piano, reading the music by candlelight. Dad led us in a few Christmas carols. Then the children walked up onto the platform, about 20 of them. The program was pretty simple. A child would step to the front and say something like, "This year for Christmas, I need joy." Then he or she would say something about joy that they had memorized, and closed with a Bible verse about joy. The choir would then sing a related song. There were several elements as the program progressed, each carefully spoken and delivered with great passion. Some needed love, some family, some light, which I thought was odd since we were sitting there in semi-darkness with just a few candles burning. The program wound down to the final element. A little girl stepped up to the front and quietly said, "This year for Christmas, I need peace." And suddenly a look of panic. She had forgotten her next line. "This year for Christmas, I need peace." Still, the words didn't come. After an awkward moment of eternity, she just quietly said, "That's all. Just peace." And the children began to sing "Silent Night, Holy Night." I don't know if it was by design or not, but about halfway through, my mom just quit playing the piano. I suspect the music just got blurred. As the children finished singing, "Sleep in Heavenly Peace," no one made a sound. We just sat there in that dimly lit small church hall, quietly. It was a moment of peace, real, calming, overwhelming, resting peace. I don't know how long we sat there, but after a bit, someone in the audience started softly singing under her breath, "Silent Night." And the whole congregation joined in. I learned something special that night. Christmas isn't about what we want. Christmas is about what we need. That's what makes it so special. Want to do something different this year? Along with your wish list, make a needs list. Christmas wish lists are fun, but exchanging your Christmas needs list is life-changing. Merry Christmas from Dan Hurst Productions.